2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a lengthy passage. You bear with me. My throat really is a little scratchy, a little sore from this morning and that medication, some side effects. But before I read, just want to make a few comments. You know that my background is military. I've spent time in military, served military. I pastored a military church, dealt with people coming and going all the time, had some discussion on some things, and I really want to implement. I don't have all the answers. But I know that we have families, or what we call our snowbirds, and some of y'all I just call birds, but we have our snowbirds. I won't tell you who they are. Some go back and forth 6 months at a time. Some here a little bit longer. It depends. But I want to incorporate in some aspect, especially those who continue to correspond regularly. Many of those consider harvest their church. They send their tithe back. You know, we need to figure out a way to keep them involved with what's going on in the church. There's nothing wrong with them tuning in when we have a business meeting via video, or at least get statements from the financial report, because they're still supporting our ministry. This is where their home is, especially when they go with it. Some of them return to, and they really don't have a church there or as well as they feel or comfortable with, or they choose to attend here and there, but they have their membership here. I did the same thing in the military. When our guys deployed, my guys texted me once a week. And if they didn't text me, I knew it was lights out, phones off, left of the base because they were out on maneuvers or they were out in an area that they couldn't take their phone with us. But they communicated with me. Many of them often called me once a month, even from Iraq and Iran or wherever they were or were not supposed to be. And I would hear from them to pray with them to see how they're doing. And when we have families like that, we need to work something out, even if some aspects of incorporating a way to be fair if we need to do an absentee ballot. Because I think even our shut-ins who have been members here for years and can't come anymore because of their health, we need to be visiting them. Our deacons will be visiting. We're working on that. Our congregation will be divided, and deacons will have responsibilities of some of the membership and back with me. So they help me in that area so that we're in the process of going through some things with those who are members and dividing up the congregation. And the part of the deacon's responsibility is the Lord's table, the pastor's table, and the widow's table. And so we need to find some ways to incorporate some of our shut-ins that we still hear from, that still finance the church with their tithes and offering. And we hear from them that we need to make sure we're visiting them, corresponding with them, and letting them know what's going on, because they still need to feel attached and a part of our church family. Amen? Amen. So we need to, and those are things we'll work on as we have time. I feel like my head is on a swivel and doing this number some days, just trying to make some adjustments, put some things, implement some things in place, like our constitution that needs to be there to protect the pastor of the church, the same-sex marriage, and those other things that we talked about, and just a few other things. So I had just made a few notes here. I didn't want to forget to say that tonight. So you be praying with me, praying for our deacons as we make some adjustments and incorporate also some help from our trustees. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. You have a handout. You can use it, follow along, but there's a lot more to what I have to say tonight than the handout. It's just something to have in your hands to fill in a few blanks to help you follow along. It has some of the scripture, but you bear with me. This is kind of a lengthy passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 16. Now, here in this chapter, before I read, Paul, not willingly, but of necessity, he is entering into an accommodation of himself. You know, trying to let them realize and understand, this is what's going on, and this is why I need your prayers. This is what's going on. It's why I need your support. And what I'm doing tonight is similar in a sense of letting you know what is going on and how I approach the pastorship, my philosophy of ministry, so you understand that. Again, like I said a few weeks ago, as I'm teaching through the aspect of the qualifications of a pastor and deacon, so you know what to expect. And also, of course, need to know what I can expect from you. So I want to share some things with you tonight in that category. So let's begin in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 16. Paul says, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receiveth me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for you suffer fools gladly, seeing that ye yourself are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are there Hebrews? So am I. Are there Israelites? So am I. Are there the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times receiveth I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Is there anywhere that the Apostle Paul ever went that he wasn't in danger? Verse number 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, is our key verse, that are without, that which cometh unto me daily. In other words, all these things, but also I have the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I not burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous of apprehending me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech, Father. I pray that you'd soothe my throat over the next several moments. And Father, I pray that you'd be those under the sound of my voice, Father, they would be able to tune out the things around them, the things of the world, maybe some things that's been burdensome, but Lord, we'd be able to tune in tonight for these few moments, Father, that we might glean from the scriptures, I might share my heart, Father, and help people to see and understand. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Friends, we all have burdens. And through my years of ministry, I have taught about burdens and worries in the past. And that's not what I'm going to do tonight. But I would like to talk about the burdens a pastor would carry. Every pastor is different, but yet we have all the same qualifications. The pastors at times, we have different philosophy. We have a different approach. We have different personalities. We have different... We're just different. None of us are the same. Some of us have little things that we're a little OCD about, and I have some of mine, and you will learn them. And there are some things that, you know, in other words, if I'm going to do something, I want us to do it first class or wait till we can do it first class. Do it well because we represent the Lord. And there's some other things that you'll learn as I'm here longer about some things that I'm a little, I don't want to come across as controlling, but as protective. And we need to understand, as a pastor would carry these burdens, these are my burdens for my congregation and my ministries. And my ministry here is at Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear. But at the same time, my ministry and my desire and my burdens go beyond these four doors. It's the communities that we live in and that we minister in. In our text, the Apostle Paul was giving his testimony of conflicts and problems and burdens that he had been through and that he still carries. Notice again in verse 28, besides all these burdens and all these perils that he mentioned, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, during that time, there were many house churches. Today, we have larger buildings that hold more people, but yet the burdens are still there. I may not be responsible for several different churches or house churches, but I'm responsible for one that will probably make up as many, or if not more, than many house churches put together. So the burdens are still there. Paul carried the burdens, as I mentioned, of many churches. Paul also had the care and concern of the people of those churches. And as he mentions who they are and often their needs or their problems as we read scripture, the Apostle Paul felt the need of prayers from God's people. He strongly hinted at this in his letters. Keep your finger here and let's run over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 30. And here we see another example here. And I'll say this throughout this evening often, but I want you to understand, I need your prayer support. I covet your prayer support because I want to be effective. And the best way for you to know somebody is to pray for them. Go before a Lord in intercessory prayer and getting to know them. What better way for you to know me and me to know you as well? Notice in Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together. What's that next word? With me. Those two words, with me in your prayers to God for me. Notice verse 13. Why? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. When I go out, I need you to pray for me. I need you to ask the Lord to put a hedge about me. We talked about how to pray for our missionaries, and many of that overlaps with your pastor. You should desire and want to know my well-being, mine as well as yours. Now, you folks may be different. Like I said, my philosophy may be a little different. I believe it's scriptural, but me and Michelle, our relationship is different. Do you know that I do not go anywhere, that I do not text Michelle, let her know that I arrived there safely? She does not go anywhere that she does not text me and let me know that she arrived safely. If I forget or she forgets, later we look at a text and we go, oh boy, I forgot to text. Are you okay? We communicate because I care about her. I want to know that she's safe and I. And I care about you, and I hope and know, well, I already feel that you do, you care about me. And that's where the communication comes from. And Paul is saying here, I need your support. We've got it much easier today. We could pick up a phone and text or call somebody. The Apostle Paul had to send out a letter. It would take days, weeks, or months before it got there. But there was still that communication. He said when others prayed for him, he says they fought his battle with him and entered into his labors. Literally, Paul was encouraging these folks to share in the battle or to share in the burden. Notice there in this passage that we looked at Romans 15. In verse 30 through 33, we see the phrase here. In verse 31 through 32, he shared three burdens as indicated by the word that. Notice, that I may be delivered, that my service, that I may come. You see, Paul carried the burden of many churches, and your pastor, and as your pastor, I carry the burden of this ministry. I also carry the burden of the people of this church and community. I'll give you an example. And again, as Paul is trying, he's not tooting his own horn. He's letting people know what he's gone through, what he's doing, so they might better pray for him, might better go before him in prayer and to encourage him. And I want you all to do this. And Sister Lorda, please forgive me. I want to use you as an example. She has a procedure tomorrow. I've already went before the Lord in prayer, and I will tomorrow morning, sister, because she's my sister. She's a part of my flock. She's a part of our church. And I want to invest in her as well as the others when I know about it. But if I don't know about it, I can't. But if you don't know about it, you can't on my behalf. It's why I try to communicate with you that's not sensitive the best that I can to pray. And even if I don't share anything, you can rest assured there are burdens that I'm carrying. And some of those are mine because they're yours and you share them with me. And I don't want you to carry them alone as Paul is writing here. Paul, as I mentioned, carried these burdens. See, you are not a statistical number here. I'm still learning your names. I'm still putting faces and names together. I ask you to forgive me as I learn. But in a short period of time, all of you have memorized my name and Michelle's name. There's only two of us. I've got a few more. but I will learn them. But you are not a statistical number. You are not just someone who comes and occupies a pew for the services and then walks out. Not only do I see you on Sunday and see you on Wednesday, but throughout the week, I see and walk with you as well when I see you and know where you're at. In fact, when I look out, sometimes I notice when you have a pattern of where you sit, I know when you're not here because you're not sitting where you normally sit, except for some of you are playing musical chairs, Brother Cleto and Miss Mary. They usually sit right back there behind Fred and Jeanette. Now, that's okay because I've learned to look around to find out where they're at because he'll have a big smile on his face wondering, is Pastor going to find me? Has he found me yet? But I look because I love you, and I want you to be here. And when you're missed, Brother John, Little John wasn't able to be here this morning. He wasn't feeling well. And I asked him, I said, Brother, did I miss you? Or are you not here? So he goes, no, I wasn't here. I wasn't feeling well. I said, well, I'm so glad you're here tonight. For him, it's easy. He always sits in the same chair. I can find him. Brother John, his wife also sits pretty much, and some of you as well. But what I'm saying is, I see you. I notice when you're here. I notice when you're not here. You see, there are burdens and worries that you carry. There are problems among you. It's life. There are fears within your life. And some of those I'm learning and I'm knowing as you share them with me. I look over the congregation, like I said, and I see if you're here. I'm like a father who has a big family and counts to see if they are all here for supper. And we do the same thing when the kids come in. How often do we, now that we're older and have kids and grandkids, do we send out a message and say, are you going to be here for Christmas? My mom asks me that every year. She has for years, and I haven't been able to make it home for Christmas the 20 years that we're on the mission field, a 10-year period where we never furloughed. And I felt bad, but she always asked, are you going to be home for Christmas? Are you going to be home for Christmas Eve? And we as well, Miss Michelle and I, want to know that you're here. I am concerned for the fears, the worries, the burdens, and the problems that you have, because I want to help you carry them. I don't want you to feel like I don't want to burden down the pastor. I want you to feel that you can share. Yes, sometimes I can be overloaded. Sometimes I can get fatigued. And that's what's called a vacation when I need it. It's called a day off when I need it. Or sometimes just a few hours in the morning. And I do this as I just turn off my phone and have some quiet time. But that doesn't mean you still can't reach out and leave a message or there's a need, because I want to be available. I want you to help you carry your burdens as well as you to help me. If I could, I would wrap all of our problems, all of your problems, your burdens, your hurts, and your concerns, and destroy them. But I cannot do that. As a father, I could sure make my children, especially my little girls, when they are in fear or concern, I could make them feel better. Even now, as adults and married to children of their own, sometimes they just want to talk to dad. I have some son-in-laws that had a problem for a little while. I mean, she's married now. She's still a daddy's girl. I said, yes, she'll always be a daddy's girl, but be happy and rejoice that she knows even when you two can't work it out, or even though sometimes she feels like she don't want to burden you, she always has knows that she can call her mom and her dad. I encourage them, and I encourage my son-in-laws, just be patient. It's early in your marriage, and of course, as they grew and they grew closer together, some of those things changed. But again, since I can't wrap my arms around you and include all of your problems, all of your burdens, and all of your hurts, and all of your concerns, instead, I must seek to meet your trials and your spiritual needs in life by preaching to you from the Word of God. See, most of our problems could be handled from Scripture. Most of our problems can be handled from the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why it's important that I do that without fear, without trepidation, without looking around and wondering who might be here and who might not be here. I just have to preach what God prepares for me and puts on my heart. Because sometimes you may not need it today, but it might be filed away that you pull up later that you need. That's why it's important. And we try to give you handouts or put information in a bulletin and make little notes when you can, because it's good sometimes where you may not know where it's at. And I'm the same way. I've been in ministry a while, but I may not remember the scripture verse, but I do remember this. Oh, that's in 2 Corinthians. It's on the right side of my book in the second column. I can find it. I may not know the exact chapter and verse, but I know where it is in my Bible because it's that familiarity that we learn and we grip from. I must seek to meet your trials, as I mentioned, but also I must seek to make your burden my burden by praying for you. In 1 Samuel, here's what Samuel says. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I have a responsibility. I have a list of names. I have a directory of names and pictures in it. And I try to go through and memorize them and put names and faces together. I go through our prayer list. I pray for you. I read every missionary letter that comes through. I pray for those missionaries. Sometimes my day is very full, and it starts early, and some mornings earlier than others when I need to catch up. But that's part of the title of pastor. Dads, do you not always feel like you were on guard when those kids were little? Especially those young ladies. Every young man that came around our house, interested because we had three girls, I told them all the same thing. I've got a gun, an alibi, and a shovel. All right, they needed to be aware. But I was protective. And I want to be the same thing in the same way with my church family. And I can't do that. I can't be that unless you share with me, but also remember that I'm human. I might miss something. I might even forget something. I still have to look at my phone because I took a screenshot because I can't always remember 85396 is my zip code. Now, I did tonight, but sometimes I forget. I got to look it up. I'm learning. I can still remember my phone number from when I was 6 years old, but sometimes I can't remember my number today. Our mind is funny, but I desire to. I must take your burdens, your trials, and heartaches before the throne of God. And sometimes when I call out your name before the throne of God, I don't know what they are, but he does. And those that I know and those are shared with, I take it to the Lord. Now, having said all of that, I would like to share some burdens with you. I want to share some things. We'll get closer to your handout now. I ache over the hurt that some of you have gone through. And when I say that in general, if you're above ground and you've been around a while, you've had some heartache and hurt. And that comes from family, friends. Sometimes it comes from other believers, church members. Sometimes it even comes from clergy, pastors. But we all have hurt that we've gone through. I ache because I know what hurt is and how it feels to be betrayed. I know how it feels to be hurt by others or those that we call friends or believers. And I think you understand what I mean by ache. I remember a period of time once where sometime on the mission field years ago that I felt like I was betrayed by two other missionaries. It hurt. It hurt bad. But I did my best to forgive them and to move on. And I think I've said this before. Forgiving is not forgetting. It's remembering that you forgave. It's a lot easier to remember that you forgave than to forget what happened. And some years later, I almost had completely forgot about it. And then I get something in the mail with that person's name on it, and all of that rushed back. And I opened up the letter only to hear from my brother, please forgive me. He had started out, please forgive me. And then below that was his letter going back 7 years prior. Friends, we all have hurts. We're all not going to have someone say, come to us and say, I'm sorry. We forgive before they ask. And remember, when we forgive before they ask and they come later and ask for forgiveness, we don't say it's okay. We listen and we say, thank you, I forgive you. Because if you don't, remember what we've talked about before, the devil will use that in some capacity to say, hey, wait a minute, you asked for forgiveness, but he never forgave you. So naturally, I wrote him back and told him that I forgave him, I have forgiven him, and Lord willing, that relationship is still being restored. Now, in fact, I'm so burdened for this ministry, I fear on occasion, regularly, if I'm going to be honest, that I might hurt you as well. Because I'm human. I don't want to hurt those that I've ministered to. But because I am human, it may happen. All of us know in our life that we not only have been hurt, but we've been guilty of hurting others. Often unintentionally. Hopefully, always unintentionally. And when we realize it, we want to do what we can to make it right. I have several other burdens that I want to share with you tonight. And these burdens weigh heavy upon me, and they are not in any particular order whatsoever, and you have these before you. But each one of those that we'll list tonight are very important, but no particular order. Number one that I have a burden for our children. They are full of energy and impressionable. And as a church, as we grow and have more come in, we need several people that are willing to now to fall in love with the children's ministry and become burdened for their faith, burdened for their souls, burdened for the influences that we can have upon them. And as we put out these flyers of reaching 10,000 homes in our community, we are going to get some visitors, especially during the Easter season. And Lord willing, some of them will stick and they will stay and they will get involved. And that means there'll be fingers. And I hope we have little fingerprints all over the building and bubble gum under the seats. We'll just clean it up. But that means little boys and girls that need to hear about Jesus and need to be able to grow up in a place and an atmosphere that they feel safe and secure, and they know no matter how bad the world gets, I know where I'm spending eternity. I have a burden for the children that are coming now and again in our church, but I also have a burden for the children of our community. Number two, I have a burden for Sunday school to begin. April the 2nd, we're starting. And I know that I've been here a little over a month, and I just didn't feel like comfortable starting it right away. I need a little time to wait in myself, and it won't be long. We're going to go from teaching and preaching twice a day to four times a day on Sunday, and then again on Wednesday. I'm excited about some of those possibilities, but I have a burden for Sunday school to begin. We'll start with a children's class, a ladies' class, and an auditorium Bible class. And Lord willing, we'll grow from that and use other facilities on our campus here that we will divide these classes in. Number three, I have a burden for the youth of this church and the youth in our community. I have a burden for their spiritual lives. I ache for them spiritually as well as morally. Teens today are confused. The suicide rate for teenagers in America is higher than it's ever been in the history of taking statistics. I think they've almost, if not surpassed, and getting very close to our veterans. And our veteran suicide rate is astronomical. And there's a concern. And I jokingly said this morning about walking the other day, seeing all these teenagers at the bus stop, and they're all doing the same thing. Folks, my heart sank to think that they're communicating, not verbally, but they were probably texting someone standing right next to them or right behind the other person. Sitting, going out to eat at in a restaurant, and people are sitting there, and they're texting back and forth, and they're laughing and because they're texting across the table. What's happened to looking someone in the eye, talking to them, socializing, engaging? We need to, and I'm so burdened because of the social networking, the woke society that we live in our young people and our single young people. They need to know, and we need to have a burden for them that we love them where they are, hoping God will save them, change their life, and bring them where they need to be. Folks, don't expect them to clean up the outside just because they get washed on the inside. It takes time. And like I've said before, the race is when they trust Christ as their Savior, I just want them to turn and head in the right direction. I'm not concerned about the speed. I'm just concerned about forward momentum going because everyone grows and moves at a different speed. I have a burden for our children, for our Sunday school classes to begin. I have a burden for our youth. But you know, I also have a burden for our senior saints or our older generation. Not just those that are here, but those that are outside our walls. I pray they maintain their service for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't stop just because you have been at it for all these years. Stay at it and help to mentor younger couples. I'm so grateful, as I mentioned this morning, about having men standing behind me encouraging me. I'm also thankful for a group of people that are retired, but are still in the fight. They might be fired, they might be retired as far as putting in the hours, punching a clock, but they're not retired when it comes to serving the Lord. We've got many people in our congregation that put in many hours in helping ministry at this church and to help their pastor, and I am grateful for that. And I have a burden for them that they will always feel needed, loved, and appreciated. And I hope that I tell you enough But I want you to know, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. And many of you I've told, I've texted, I've emailed, and I want you to always know and always feel like, I don't want you to feel like that I want something, I keep saying thank you. No, I just want you to keep doing it. I appreciate it. It's such a blessing. And it's important that our seniors and our older generation stay connected and stay involved. Even though the next generation may be leading in the future, they need somebody now to train them, to set the example, and to encourage them and to mentor them. Number five, I have a burden for the leadership of this church. A burden for men to continue, as we are, to rise up, fill the gaps, not only here, but in their homes. I spent almost 5 years before becoming your pastor in helping struggling churches that were just about ready to close. They had financial problems. They had sin problems. The list goes on and on in different categories. It was exhausting. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed giving the devil a black eye when we saved the church from keeping their doors open. But at the same time, it was a struggle at times. It was discouraging at times. But then now the Lord has seen fit to bring us here. But here's the common denominator in the churches that needed rescuing, and the churches that I know today. I know literally of 75 to 100 more churches seeking a pastor that are in need. How many of those are in desperate need? I don't know. But here's some of the common denominators. They don't have men involved. They show up on Sunday morning, and that's it. You come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night, it's mostly the ladies and the children. That is the common thing with churches that crumble and destruct within, is that they don't have enough men involved, actively involved. That's why I'm trying to pull in as many men as I can to be involved in ministry. I call on other men to pray. I call on other men to be involved. We get our ushers involved. I have other men helping, contacting, researching, and helping and working with our missionaries. I've got other men reading the church constitution and bylaws. That church, by the way, that's already been sent out to a few men. I may send it to others that are reading over to making sure it's grammatically correct and the mechanics of it is functioning right. I want to get many as involved. Others that want to be involved, all you have to do is ask. Preacher, how can I serve? How can I be involved? I want as many men that feel like, hey, I'm invested. I'm here. I'm not just here on Sunday morning. I'm just not here on Sunday morning. I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sometimes through the week I'm here because I'm invested in this ministry. And I appreciate those, and I have a burden for men to continue. But also within that burden, I have a burden for those men that are doing it to try to pull someone else in and mentor them and encourage them so that if something was ever to happen to you, they know what to do and they know how to do it. Number six, I have a burden for the faithfulness of our church families. Faithfully attending the house of God. See, it is a burden for to me when I do not see you here in your place on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening. Yes, as I mentioned before, I do look for you. I realize that we're going to be providentially hindered, work schedules that come up that we can't be here. I understand that. This morning, you know, I left my phone at home. One of the best Sundays I've ever had. I might leave it home every Sunday. But Brother Cleto and Miss Mary texted me to let me know we're not sure if we're going to make it. Our cars broke down. I didn't get the text till later. But guess what? They got it running and they got here. So I'm excited about that. And the point I'm trying to make is there's the effort of someone letting me know that, hey, we're normally here. We don't want the pastor to think something's wrong. We're not doing well. We're going to let him know that we can't be here. You know, I appreciate that. But at the same time, I want you to understand, I understand there's going to be times that you miss. I understand those things happen. But I can't help but to think, when you're not here, if you're okay. And I'm human. Guess what else the devil will do? You've done went and made them mad. Hey, I'm only human. You know, does a thought ever cross my mind since I've been here? Yeah, it has, once or twice. But that's just the old devil. It's just the old devil because I know it's not the case. Some of you guys tease me about it once in a while, but I know that you're behind me. But then again, I have that burden for your faithfulness, the faithfulness of your family, getting everyone here as often as you can for every program that we have. But there'll be times that you can't, and I do understand that. After all, I'm going to be taking vacation too. I'll probably be in church, but it just won't be here because I'm getting a break or getting away a little bit. Number seven, I have a burden for winning the lost in this area. As I mentioned this morning, there is over 100,000 people surrounding Harvest Baptist Church that need to be reached for Christ. Of these people, I'm talking about within just a few miles. We're one of the fastest growing, the top 10 fastest growing communities, cities in America. And again, like I said this morning, I drive around and I see all these empty houses, these new apartments right here going across, luxury apartments, building right across the street. They can walk to church. They're going to need somewhere to go. Why not Harvest Baptist Church? We need to do all that we can in telling people. And I hope that I never embarrass you in public, but I'm telling you, more likely than not, there may be times that I might, it won't be intentional, but that might embarrass you. But I just talk to everybody. I love people. I like to talk. Sometimes I like to even listen to myself talk. I just enjoy it. My dad and mom used to tell me growing up, I was either going to be a preacher or a politician because I talked all the time. I enjoy meeting new people. Every person that I do not know that's friendly toward me is a potential of a new friend, a potential of a new member of Harvest Baptist Church. I know we're not for everybody, but I won't know if we are or not if I don't ask them. And so I need you to pray for me and pray with me and get a burden of the lost in this community. You have it in front of me, but let's go over some of the, in front of you. Let's go over these statistics. Only 39, just under 40% of the people of Maricopa County are religious. I spent some time on the internet this past week. 2.4 are Baptist, 14.2 are Catholic, and another 14.9 fall under the Protestant category. That means 60% do not profess to be a Christian or active in a church. There, folks, I don't know about you. That's in Maricopa County. I imagine the breakdown comes pretty close in this area. That's a whole lot of fish in one pond. Amen? Thank God. That's a lot of people out there. That means that 6 out of 10 people that you see don't go to church anywhere. Now, there'll be an exception on occasion. Because everybody knows all the Christians go to Walmart. Hey, some of my dearest pastor friends said that the best place to go on visitation is at Walmart. All your church people are there, and they would get them. If they see somebody else, here's an opportunity. They don't go to church, or they're a friend, they're a coworker. Pastor walks up, says hello, and you introduce your pastor to this couple that you know that don't go to our church. There's an open door right there for your pastor to meet someone else and for you to introduce them to. Folks, I tell you, it's nothing like shooting fish in a barrel. Because they shoot back. There are some people that are just rude. But still, 6 out of 10. Think about that. 6 out of 10 people that you meet this next week outside of our circle, more likely than not, go to church nowhere. They're prime candidates to invite to church. They're prime candidates who need to be saved. See, if these things don't burden you, then something's got to be wrong. We should be burdened over this. The median age in Maricopa County is 36 years old. Michelle and I had a ministry for a little over right at 11 years. The median age of our congregation was about 28. They just about killed me trying to keep up with them. But we loved every single minute of it. Our church here, though we are a little bit more mature, you guys are active. And I'm enjoying all the activities and things that we do together. I'm excited about those things. But still, yet, that younger generation. So 6 out of 10 are probably not saved. An overwhelming majority of them are somewhere around 36 years of age. Probably married with children. A few more statistics. Families in Maricopa County. 49, almost 50% are married. 12% are divorced, 32% are married with children, and 18.6% have children but are single. Boy, what a ministry there. I think one of those untapped ministries, many churches are trying to do it, but single parents. When's the last time you were in a store? Think about this. When's the last time you were in a store and saw a mom or a dad by themselves with a kid struggling? Be honest. I've seen it. How many of us ever thought to stop or wonder if we should even offer to help in any way? Can I do something? Can I push the cart? Can I help you with that? Often, Michelle and I, coming out of the store with groceries, we see a single mom or what looks like might be a single mom with kids. We often help them unload their groceries. just to try to be a help. And sometimes they say thank you, sometimes they don't. And often we never really say that I'm a pastor. I'm just planting the seed, because if they keep shopping there and I keep shopping there, eventually they're going to say, hey, aren't you the couple that helped us unload the groceries? And there's my avenue to walk in and tell them who I am and invite them to church. They remembered. Funny story, we'll move on. Michelle and I was in Germany. I think we're in Ramstein Air Base at their commissary PX. We were going through the store, and here was a mom pushing a buggy, had a little one in here. You know where I'm going? Had a little one in the buggy, and that little boy or girl, I can't remember, was screaming to the top of their lungs. I mean, they were not happy. They did not want to be there, and they wanted everybody in the store to know that I'm not happy with Mama. I mean, that little rascal was squalling. And I thought for sure that Mama was going to do like so many other parents, give up and just leave. She, I am not taking you home. I'm going to go shopping. And she went around to the next aisle, and she opened up and said, I kid you not, have earplugs, put them in her buggy, and she kept right on shopping. Tell you what it made me want to do. It made me want to go get a set and follow along with them. But what I'm saying is there's ministry opportunities sometimes we don't even realize are in front of us. A kind word, a kind deed, and later followed up. People remember. I like to wear my Tennessee hat and shirt sometimes. Sometimes I know I'm a little grungy. We've got all wore out tennis shoes and jeans and a ball cap on. Always Tennessee. But you know, there is a large, not real big, but there's a percentage population here in Goodyear that are from Tennessee. There's never been a time that I went out, especially to Walmart, that I went as Tennesseans love Walmart. Going in stores, and we'll say, hey, you're from Tennessee, or just a fan? And I always say, well, I'm from Tennessee. And we strike up a conversation. And I've met a few in Walmart. And I can't wait to go back, just making the friend, going back and seeing them again and striking up a conversation and letting them know about the other hat that I wear, the pastor's hat. God gives us opportunities, and it's all about having a burden for the lost. I need to move on. Number 8, I have a burden for what Michelle and I established 5 years ago, Lifeline Ministries. It involves encouragement to hurting, aching churches and pastors of like faith across America. We must be willing to look beyond all four walls, because we have in this community, in Maricopa County, we have pastors and their families that get hurt as well. I want our church prepared and willing to host hurting pastors and their families, missionaries and evangelists to be a blessing. Folks, I am not in competition with any pastor, any church in this community. It does not bother me to drive by and see their parking lot full and mine not full. Now, to be honest with you, I get a little bit envious and I say, well, Lord, keep blessing. I praise God. First, I praise God, especially the churches of like faith. When I drive down by the Mormon church, I hope it blows up when it's empty. But I hope you're not offended. But when other churches of like faith, I praise God. They're preaching the gospel, people are there, and God is adding to the church. And God will do the same thing for us in time. But I want them to succeed, because you know what? That means more people in heaven. That means more people that live in this community. It's not a threat to me. I don't leave my home scared, but you know what I'm saying. I'm less likely to be attacked by a believer. I'm more likely to be a non-believer or a very worldly believer. But you know what I'm saying. I get excited, and we want to encourage. I envision down the road sometime hosting a pastor's fellowship on a short weekend, not taking them from the church on Sunday, but imagine having a time where they can travel in, that we could actually work out with hotels, raise money for a whole year, and all they have to do is worry about is showing up and being served and blessed by the preaching of God's word while we serve them while they're here, them and their wife, and just relaxing, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the preaching. And if they need to leave Saturday after lunch to get back to their church, go right ahead. If they can stay and they took the whole weekend off, have a pulpit supply, they can stay. But just ministering to them and serving them and thanking them, because you guess what? Pastors get burdened, get burned out, get discouraged, get hurt often. Often. And I have a burden for these men, because here's why. I want them to stay in the ministry. I don't want them to quit. I don't want them to give up. More than 2,000 churches, 2,000 Baptist churches or more, close their doors every year. Preachers quit frequently because they're tired. They get their feelings hurt. I know some of them need to have a little thicker skin. But needless to say, they're still hurt and it's happening. Number 9, I have a burden for projects that need my attention. There are things that need to be done to improve the work and ministry of this church. Some of these things are weighing on me and taking my mind away from the most important part of my ministry with you. And the most important ministry with you is being a shepherd. And that is praying, shepherding, preaching. If the pastor is to be effective, he must give himself to the ministry of prayer and to the study of the Word of God. I've got the tools that I need. This church is gracious. They don't expect me to be here in the church office every day. I have an office at home. I am here 3 days a week, sometimes more, but I have one day solely dedicated at my home with the phone off, the door closed, that I'm in there all day unless emergency comes up, studying and preparing, not just for Sunday, but future themes and ideas as I write things down. I've got a list of titles and things that I think about that the Lord gives me that I write down that one day I want to write a sermon. I've got one that I've yet to write a sermon on, but it's a great title. How to Raise G-Rated Kids in an R-Rated World. Boy, it's on my list. I still haven't got the sermon yet, but it's a good one. But things like that, and I write down. And I use Monday mornings for brainstorming and going over the day that from today, tomorrow morning, on my first cup of coffee, after I can spend time with the Lord, and before I get a second cup with Michelle, or even a little bit later if I get on my third or fourth cup, I will talk about the day and how things went, have little mental notes about the sermon, or maybe what could be I could add to later from this text at another sermon, and just kind of brainstorm on some things. Because I have a burden for so many projects that need my attention. The only way I'm going to succeed as a pastor is by the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the prayers of you and your help and encouragement toward me. I want to succeed, but I need your help to do it. I need your support to do that. I am deeply concerned for the people of this church to develop a deep commitment to prayer, not just for the ministry, but for your pastor, for the Sunday school that we're starting, for the Easter service that are coming up in the big campaign. We need more believers willing to invest time in kneeling before our Heavenly Father in intercessory prayer. A rhetorical question like I asked this morning, but a different note. When's the last time that we literally wept to see souls walk the aisle? When's the last time we really wept to see this church house full, to see our neighbor saved, to see our coworker, family member saved? Do we spend the time in intercessory prayer? I'm not talking about, Lord, bless this food. I'm not talking about getting up in the morning, reading our Bible, and going through a prayer list. Those are important, but also a time in investing in prayer and the ministry right here for God to do something. I beg God to do something this morning. I plead with the Lord, please, Lord, help me get out of the way. May you have full reign and not be of myself in any shape, form, or fashion. Now, I think we had a great service, but that doesn't mean we have a great service that we're going to have people walk the aisle and get saved every service. But the impact on the people and what they take home with them and how God changes their life are all important things. Folks, I want to hit a home run every time I stand up to preach. So I'm going to tell you what I feel like. If I lay an egg or two, it's your fault. You didn't pray. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean. I've got to invest. I have to study, and I have to prepare. But part of that preparation also falls on you to pray, and that God will turn the soil and prepare it in the hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. We need more believers willing, again, to invest time in kneeling before our Heavenly Father. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Because without him, I can do nothing. Without him, there's nothing, all I can do. I do my dead level best every time I try. But when people shake my hand and they say, preacher, thank you for the message, great message this morning, my response needs to always be the same, felt from my heart in all sincerity, praise the Lord. Because it's him. I like the services when I preach and leave and I don't remember anything. I have no idea how many times I got up and down off this platform. People told me this morning there's people that some people got excited, had a few more amens than normal. I don't remember none of that. I don't. I like those kind of Sundays. I like to hear the feedback and know that I somehow got out of the way and the Lord moved in and spoke through me. And that's what I want. That's what I ache for when I preach. And I ask you tonight as we close that you strive with me to take my burdens and the burdens of this church before a great burden bearer, our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that I want you to help me to be an effective pastor. So my question to you is, will you help me carry the burdens of a pastor? Help me. I gave the illustration some weeks ago about how I learned to tie a tie. Remember? How many of y'all remember the illustration I gave about how I learned to tie a tie? I'm going to take this one off. But I gave the illustration about how someone stood behind me and taught me to tie a tie, and I tied it a few times, and he took it apart. And here's what I need. I need men and women in our church that are willing, so to say, to tie the tie, to make a decision on a regular basis. I am going to tie up, free up, and I'm going to tie myself to the Word of God and to God Himself and spend time in prayer. I want to take the opportunity to stand over someone else and around them and mentor them and teach them how to tie the tie, to teach them how to be faithful, to teach them, encourage them how to pray, to be in the Bible. I want to encourage them. I want to ask God to give me someone in the church. And maybe, guess what? God may have somebody for you already. They're just not members yet. They might not even be saved yet. But he's got someone that he wants to see saved in his sovereignty. He knows as he looks out into the eternity, into the future, and he knows that he needs some men and women willing to invest their time and tie the tie. I'll never forget that young man that taught me how to tie a tie. I'll never forget what he did for me in encouraging me as a freshman and him being older. He took the time, tall is easy for him, to tower over me and teach me. Folks, you don't have to be taller than anyone else to be big enough to mentor, to encourage, and to invest in their life. So as we close in prayer tonight, I'm going to ask you to join me. Will you help me carry my burdens? Will you help me, will you help your pastor to carry his burdens, to come alongside, as many of you already have, and many have already demonstrated that, but keep doing that and add to that part of bathing every service in prayer. Because I want to preach what the Lord wants me to preach. I want to teach what the Lord wants me, and I want to teach and preach what the Lord knows you need. Lord willing, in the coming weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but the aspect and idea of how to pray for your pastor. Let's all stand together. Father, as we come for a close tonight, we just want to thank you for the blessings. Father, for the privilege of service. And Father, for the privilege, though it may be heavy, Lord, the privilege of burdens. I know that sounds hard and may sound strange to some people, but I know that when I have a burden, that means the Lord has entrusted me with it, and he will help me to carry it, and that he will see me through. It might be my own. It might be my family's. It might be a fellow brother or sister in Christ. It might be a fellow church member. But needless to say, you've ordained me. You've ordained others to help carry those burdens that we might be more productive, more effective, and make a difference in the life of others. And Father, there's a world watching us who know nothing about living for you. They know nothing about a relationship. And many of them don't have a care in the world. And the burdens they have no one to go to. No one to look to. Father, help us to be known as a place where people are received and they're loved and they're helped, that we might see many walk through these doors and come to know Christ as their personal Savior and grow in grace and in knowledge and then go out and then reach others also. Father, now dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship together. Bless my people, Lord, as they go out through their work week this week. Keep them safe. And Lord, help them to reach others. And we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, remember, God loves you, this preacher loves you.